Thank you, Rosemary. I'm just going to, it's not going to be anything very long. I just wanted to share a few thoughts, really. Quite a few weeks ago, the Lord woke me up in the night, and he spoke to me about our journey to the cross. He just put those words in my mind, and our journey, my journey to the cross, our each one of us. We have our own personal journey to the cross. And I wasn't really sure what he was saying at the time, but I felt him say he wanted me to share it this morning. And I've just been asking him to unpack that a bit and really put some flesh on it. Today we were so in awe, aren't we? We're so in awe of the event that took place on the cross 2,000 years ago, that Jesus, our spotless, Son of God, our Lamb of God, came and took that punishment for us. He went to the cross for us. He took our punishment, he took our sin, he took our guilt, he took our shame, he took absolutely everything, every stain that was upon us. And it was nailed to the cross once and for all. So that we could be restored to our Father, so that we could just live free from all that, stuff that holds us back. Well, I mean, when I think about it, I just can't even put the right words to it. We're so in awe, aren't we? We're so in awe of what he's done for us, and the freedom that he's brought us. And then I was thinking about it and just asking him a little bit more about this. From that moment that we come to him and we acknowledge what he did personally for us on the cross, we begin from that moment onwards, as we enter into relationship with him, we enter into restored relationship with our Father, into restored relationship with Jesus, we embark on our own journey, actually bearing our cross. If we remember what Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 24, then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it." And in 1 Peter 2, it says, "To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps." So I was seeking him more, really, on what he was saying. And I felt he was saying that we're just to look at him as our, obviously, as our model. He's our perfect model, as we begin our Christian walk with him and our life of serving the Father and walking side by side with Jesus. He is our model. And we look at him. I started looking at him in the Garden of Gethsemane. So his journey to the cross. And I started it when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And you see him in that place of absolute torment. Three times he goes away to pray, and that anguish and that torment and that terrible sorrow overwhelms him, and he sweats drops of blood because he knows what's coming. He knows what he's going to face. And he suffers the most terrible anguish. But even though he knows that and he feels it and experiences it, he says, "Not my will, but yours be done," he says to his Father. not my will, but yours be done. And you see in this place of real suffering, he has chosen obedience to his Father. He has chosen to submit because he knows this is the will. This is the will of his Father. This is why he came. This is why he was his assignment from the day he was born. He knew this was going to happen. And he chose to be obedient. And that for me says so much, you know. And Jesus said that we, if we are to be his disciples, we are to bear our own cross. And it begins like it began there, when we see in the Garden of Gethsemane. It begins with laying down, this laying down of self, this denying ourself, this posture in our heart where we choose, no, not my will, but yours, Lord. I choose whatever I'm feeling, whatever I'm going through, however hard this is, I choose your will and not mine. I mean, that's, you know, that is so amazing that he did. I mean, it's not so, well, like, you know, he's Jesus, he's God, but he still had that choice. He still had that choice, and he chose to obey. And for us, that's the same. As we carry on this path and this walk, bearing our cross through life, it's that choice that we always have for all the situations that happen to us, that decision that we are to submit. We submit to our Father's will, because we have that choice all the time, and we can so easily choose not to. But as we submit, as we yield, as we surrender to his will and not ours, it's this wonderful process that happens that we cannot do ourselves. In the, you know, when we come to know the Lord initially, we're not immediately transformed into little Jesus's. We're not, you know, into his likeness. It's a process, and it happens. It happens as we, you know, as we walk through our Christian life. It's a process where Christ is actually formed inside us. And there's a process, and it involves our will. Many times it involves our will, where we choose to submit, we choose to yield, just as Jesus did. So if we're moving on to what happened after he was arrested, awful things happened to him. He was beaten. He was spat upon. He was mocked and ridiculed, rejected, despised. All these things that happened to him. And he took it. He bore it. I'll just read from Isaiah 50. Isaiah 50, verse 6 to 7. I offered my back to those who beat me. My cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting. Because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore have I set my face like flint, and I know I will not be put to shame. In 1 Peter 2:21, it says, he committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. Isaiah 53, verse 7. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. It's, is just, you know, it's just absolutely staggering. This is Jesus. This is the Son of God. You know, one word from him and he could command a whole cohort of angels to come and help him. But again, he chose to obey his Father. He chose to just to carry through his assignment, his mission. And what was his motivation? What was he thinking of all the time? What was the joy set before him? That his joy was us. His joy was his bride. That what he was about to do was going to restore full relationship back with his Father, was going to put right what happened in the Garden of Eden. And it also was going to prepare for him, his bride, his beautiful bride. And because of what he did, he can look at us and he can say, like in Song of Songs, I think it's chapter 4, there is no flaw in you. Because of what he did on the cross, and it's nothing to do with us, it's nothing to do with what we've done, it's all because of him, it's because of this amazing, amazing gift of salvation and grace. He can look at us, his beloved bride, and he says, there is no flaw in you. So, so wonderful. And I was thinking of us, I'm still thinking what he said, that, you know, as his disciples, we also have to bear our cross. And what does that look like? What does that actually mean? It means following in Jesus's footsteps. It means choosing to be obedient. It means choosing to submit to the will of the Father. It means as Jesus did when he was mocked and ridiculed. You know, we have a choice. We can choose not to be offended. We can choose not to retaliate. We can choose not to justify ourselves or even defend ourselves, because the joy set before us is Jesus, our bridegroom. He's our joy. Just as we were his, we are his joy. The joy set before him, which was with him, you know, it was his incredible love and his desire for his bride and his obedience to his Father, that was the thrust, the motivation that enabled him to go through that horrendous, horrendous time on the cross and all the beating and all the suffering. He saw us, he saw his beloved bride, and he saw the joy that this was going to bring his Father. And for us, as we go along our path, bearing our cross, what does it look like? This looks like submitting, being obedient, choosing not to react in a human way. Like Andrea, when you were speaking, you were saying, you know, how for us as people, how can we do and act like Jesus did, that he went through all that and he had this beautiful heart and he was able to forgive those who were doing that to him? Well, it's possible because for our joy set before us is Jesus, our beautiful, beautiful King, our beautiful bridegroom. And as we fix our eyes on him, as we bear our cross and we fix our eyes on him, the more we gaze upon him, the more we gaze upon his beauty, and the more we fall in love with him, he becomes our motivation. He becomes our love, our joy, our absolute passion. And because he's given us his Holy Spirit, we have that amazing ability because of him, because of his life within us, and his grace, which teaches us to say no, teaches us to say no to all ungodliness, teaches us to say no to all those passions that rise up, you know, when someone mistreats us, or, you know, we're offended, or where we hurt, or if you're rejected, We have Holy Spirit dwelling inside us. And before our eyes, we have Jesus. We can just choose to set our gaze upon him. And he's our joy. And so we carry on through life bearing this cross. But it's a cross that actually is a beautiful thing because it forms Christ within us as we go along and as we choose to yield, we choose to surrender, we choose to keep hearing, listening to our Father's voice and hearing what Jesus says. He is formed within us. There's actually a beautiful thing because without that, you know, without situations where we actually have to make that choice, you know, that refining process probably wouldn't happen. So this path that we walk on, it's a path of obedience and it's a path of humility because we're choosing not to do our will. We're choosing not to react to situations where normally the human response would be pride rises up within us and we feel, you know, my goodness, that shouldn't have happened to me. And you know, we all these things that kick in, this human response, as we carry that cross, as we're in that place, constantly in that place of yieldness and surrender and obedience, we walk in this place of submission and we walk low before the Lord, and that pride has to die. It has no other choice because we're walking, but we're setting our gaze on Jesus, and we're choosing all the time, choosing to be obedient, to submit and to yield and to surrender. And this, what does it look like? It looks like this beautiful process happening within our hearts where we have a posture of humility and a posture of obedience. And it's just a beautiful thing, such a beautiful thing. And this would never, you know, it would never happen had Jesus not done what he did on the cross. It was that was the beginning, it was only the beginning. And the rest is this beautiful transformation that happens within our hearts, you know, as we walk and we carry our cross. So many things, so many aspects of who he is are revealed in us in different situations. You know, we can just as he did, he said, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. These people who were crucifying him, he was able to love his enemies. This is the kingdom manifesting in us, that we are able to, we can bring the atmosphere of heaven around us because of Jesus within us. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. But it really all hinges on this dying to ourselves, but it's all about choosing, always choosing as Jesus did, not my will, but yours. And that carries such a blessing, you know, as we choose, if we make that step, my goodness, what joy I think that brings our Father, that in that step of just choosing him and not our own will, the blessing comes from heaven. And he enables us, his grace enables us, Holy Spirit enables us to keep walking in that place where we're walking in truth, we're walking in love, we're walking in forgiveness. So that's what I felt he was saying to me. This whole thing about walking and bearing our cross, which in the past I thought was a really negative thing, you know. He said, if you want to be my disciple, you pick up your cross and follow me. But he's spoken to me so clearly about the beauty of this, what it actually looks like, and the process and the transformation that happens within us. And all because we choose. We always have a choice. We choose to yield. We choose to surrender and obey. And in that process, we just become more and more like Jesus. I've got a few scriptures I want to read. This is John 12, verse 23. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me." Now, 1 Peter 1 to 3. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls." Romans 6:4. This is from the Passion Translation. "Sharing in his death by our baptism means that we were co-buried with him, so that when the Father's glory raised Christ from the dead, we were also raised with him. We have been co-resurrected with him so that we could be empowered to walk in the freshness of new life. For since we are permanently grafted into him to experience a death like his, then we are permanently grafted into him to experience a resurrection like his and the new life that it imparts." Two Corinthians 4:7. I'm sorry about all these, but I just feel that these all fit in with the message that he wanted to speak. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed on our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. Therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And last of all, 1 Peter 4:12. "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of God and of God, Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or any other kind of criminal, or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it is time for judgment to begin with God's household. And if it begins with us, that will be the outcome. What will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard that the righteous, if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. So, I hope it hasn't come across as a heavy message. I just see it as a very beautiful thing. As we follow Jesus's example, from carried on from Garden of Gethsemane to when he was arrested and he was beaten and flogged and then finally crucified. We share in those the injustice of what he went through, but we also can be like him, because he chose not to retaliate. He chose just to do his Father's will, and he's enabled us to have that same amazing ability just to react and behave very differently to that, the human reaction that would probably happen without him. So I would just encourage myself as well. Let's all just keep our gaze fixed on him, and just choose. Throughout life, we have those times when we have to make a choice. It happens all the time. Something happens and then we react maybe in a negative way, but we can choose. We can always choose, because he's given us everything that we need for life and godliness. He enables us to say no to reacting and responding in a negative way. So yeah, just be encouraged. Just to keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, just to allow your love and your passion to grow for him. This isn't something that we can do ourselves, but Holy Spirit enables us. He's the one who he just loves to remind us of Jesus's words. He loves to reveal Jesus to us more. He loves to reveal the Father to us. So we retain a posture of absolute dependency and humility, knowing that we cannot do this on our own. We are nothing. Without him, we are absolutely nothing. But with him, we can do all things. So, I hope that blesses you.
Thank you so much.